Nonprofits. Inexplicably, I'm your host, Dennis Loubet, along with the cryptic Matt Dillahunty.
Whoa.
And the enigmatic Beth.
Hey.
For reasons unknowable, we're coming to you live from the Dillahunty International Studios in Austin, Texas, on Saturday, the 8th of January, 2011. And as impossible as it seems, the music you heard was God by Tori Amos. Bafflingly enough, the show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, an educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state. You may want more information, but as the tide mysteriously goes out, you can call their voicemail at 512-371-2911. And yet, as the tide paradoxically comes in, you can visit the ACA website at www.atheist-community.org. And all without any miscommunication. For purposes unfathomable, the nonprofits broadcasts live every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock Central Time. It's claimed that you can join the chat room at www.nonprofitsradio.com. But really, fucking chat rooms, how do they work? So sit back and relax as we obscure the inscrutable and mystify the unmystifiable.
Ooh. I'm befuddled and flummoxed.
Yes, well, you have every right to be. We can't know things.
I don't even, how do we know that we can't know things? We don't even know that.
Okay, that hasn't been answered, so, right.
And because somebody hasn't answered it, I'm therefore justified in believing that we cannot know, that we cannot know everything.
Exactly. To claim that you know everything, that would be the height of arrogance and you know.
And therefore, acknowledging that you know nothing means that you know something, which means that the things that you know are probably knowable and known.
That you know nothing means you're the most humble. You win.
My gosh.
You are the awesome, most humblest person ever.
It's amazing.
There's no vanity involved at all.
So for those who missed out, some of Dennis's references
yes,
come from a recent Bill O'Reilly segment with Dave Silverman, the president of American Atheists. I guess this has been the subject of a lot of talk and disagreement and argument. And, you know, I think it's only fair that since it was in the intro, we go ahead and kind of start with it. For those who don't know, the first of the American Atheist billboards of Dave Silverman's tenure as president was the, quote, War on Christmas billboard that said, you know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason.
Right.
And in a number of television interviews, I thought that Dave Silverman, you know, held his own, did a good job, and was enjoyable. And I didn't have a huge problem with the billboard. Yeah, there's this little nagging thing about, do you actually know it's a myth versus,
right,
we can be pretty damn sure that this is a myth, this nonsense about a star, you know.
Right, and you know, it is pretending to speak for everyone, which is kind of, you know, a little presumptuous, but
yeah, and that's been the source of a lot of objections to the follow-up. Now, I'm a member of American Atheist. Our group is affiliated with American Atheist. I'm supportive of American Atheist. I have had limited interactions with Dave, but I generally...
Your firstborn after American Atheist?
I will not be naming my firstborn after American, unless it's a girl, in which case I might call her Madeline, but... because I like the name. No, I'm getting in.
No.
Who said you're going to be the mother of my firstborn? That's kind of presumptuous.
No, it'll be your other 10 or 12 girlfriends.
I'll just sit here and whistle.
I thought you were going to say, I'll just sit here and watch. And I was like, nah, it's the wrong show, buddy. But, you know, I've had limited interaction with Dave. We had a number of conversations. And in general, I like him, and I'm, you know, I'm very supportive of him being out there. But the follow-up billboard... says, you know, they're all scams, and has, you know, little cartoony things of the different religions, you know, temples with the symbols above them, etc. And this one I've gone back and forth on, mostly back, because I think it takes something that in the first billboard that was only a minor objection and expands it.
Right.
Because it gives the implication that you're saying that everybody knows that religions are scams and that every religion is a scam. Now, they offered a clarification on the website about, you know, secular religions and things that don't posit the supernatural and that they're not accusing them of scams. But he goes on O'Reilly, and by the way, there were people who posted on my wall saying, you know, I wish O'Reilly'd talk to you. I don't know that I would have necessarily. Nobody's going to do well on O'Reilly because O'Reilly is a douche. And he is this rapid fire, let's spin things in 20 directions, and I'm gonna spout my nonsense.
I'm going to shout over you.
And completely befuddle you to the point where you can't even make the point you're making. And we'll get to some of that in a minute. But O'Reilly kind of did the, are you saying everybody knows this? And Dave answered, yes. This was, I think, Dave's only real mistake on O'Reilly, because it puts you in the position of defending the indefensible.
Well, an argument could be made for that.
That everybody knows that they're scams?
Yes.
What's the argument?
Because every religionist knows that all the other religions are scams.
Okay. I completely buy that. I don't think that's quite what he was saying.
No, it's not what he meant, but hey.
But I think that the same point could have been made, because the whole purpose of this you know campaign with regard to the you know the myth and you know they're scams is we know that there are atheists, non-believers, even if they don't self-identify as atheists, mm-hmm. in churches, both in the pews and behind the pulpit.
Right.
This isn't remotely controversial.
Yeah,
I mean,
according to Dennett, yeah.
Dennett's done studies on ministers. I've received emails from ministers. And by the way, anybody who came from a religious background and eventually escaped that religion probably spent some time in the pew mm-hmm. as a non-believer. There's a huge kind of social impetus to keep playing along. And Dave's point, American Atheist's point, is that we need to let these people know that you're not the only ones. It's okay to come out. And by the way, you probably should come out, which I don't think is necessarily true in all cases. I've said before,
sure.
You know, if you fear for your life, your health, your well-being, and things like that, you know, keep your ass in the closet, because we're not, you know... There are out atheists, and there are enough people who could potentially be out to help change the world so that you might not have to fear those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the change that could be made to the new billboard that's out there is to simply, instead of saying, you know, they're all scams, just to say they're all scams. Because now you're asserting what American mm-hmm. atheist position is and what the position of many atheists are, that religions are, by and large, on some level, are scams. It is still just about as in your face.
Yeah, that's way.
It's still going to probably get you on O'Reilly.
yep.
And yet, you're not making a statement that you're not put in the position of having to defend the indefensible, and that's kind of my primary objection to the billboard. On the other hand, I like the fact that we're promoting the discussion.
Right. Well, you exchange one presumption for another. The first one is you're pretending to speak for everyone by, you know, this inclusive you.
Yeah.
But then in the other one, you're presuming to speak for reality, saying there's no such thing. These are all scams. But hey.
But that's something I think you can defend.
Yeah,
as
we can get behind that.
Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to add? You grabbed it. No. She's shaking her head. So, yeah, you know, when I say I've gone back and forth on this new billboard, don't get me wrong. I mean, Rebecca Watson over at Skeptic made a post like yesterday mm-hmm. saying, you know, this is a shitty ad campaign, and then proceeded to rip into it from everything from having all caps and, you know, crappy awesome. Graphic design, and then uh-huh. hammering Dave for his statement on O'Reilly that, yeah, everybody knows, which I think is a good mistake to point out. It's one of the nice mm-hmm. things about that I find about people in the atheist community by and large. It doesn't happen all the time. There are disagreements, there are schisms and breaks and whatever. But we can have disagreements about some things, and even heated disagreements. You and I have had heat.
Oh, yeah.
Last show.
Absolutely.
But Dennis and I are still friends.
Oh, yeah.
I still respect Dennis. We still are working for the same thing, even if we didn't convince each other, even if we were still in disagreement on that issue. And so I don't have any problem at all saying that I don't think this particular ad was the best way to go about it, that you could have done something very, very, very similar, I mean, with just a slight change, and put yourself in a much more defensible position, and that I think it was an overstatement, to put it mildly, to go on TV and claim that your position is that everybody knows this. And honestly, I'm not sure that Dave actually believes that. I think Dave was flummoxed by the thing that you pointed out.
Uh-huh.
By O'Reilly saying, well, there's no miscommunication. The tide goes in, the tide goes out. You can't explain it. And the camera pans to Dave, and Dave is sitting there with this look on his face like, are you fucking serious?
Did you just say what I thought you said?
Wait a minute. And I know, because what's going through my head at the time, which is probably similar to what's going through Dave's head at the time, is, okay, is this guy, first of all, pretending that we don't understand the tides and making a statement that because we don't understand the tides that this somehow justifies his position? I mean, you go through all this in your head. And I'm sitting there thinking, don't touch the tide thing, Dave. Just stay on topic. And to his credit, he absolutely did. He did not get derailed. And there are people who took him to task for this, and I think these people are mistaken. I'm willing to point out where I disagree on all sides. If you did it quickly, well, I'm sorry that you don't understand how the tides work, O'Reilly, but we do, in fact, understand how the tides work. And even if we didn't, blah, 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 blah. You could do that very quickly. Yeah. And it might be effective. And I probably might have done that, but I like the fact that Dave just went, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not I can explain this. We're talking about this.
Right.
How dare you?
We'll just let the ignorant statement stand on its own.
Yes. How dare you just sit there and do some hand waving? You invited me on your show to talk about a billboard, and you're going to waste time talking about tides and, you know, the sun goes up, the sun goes down. O'Reilly goes down.
What a crazy.
Yeah, so it was.
What kind of slogan is that?
My thing is that this has put me in the position of being curious about what the next billboard's going to be.
Bill O'Reilly knows it's a scam.
and here's my thing. I love the fact that we're keeping the conversation going. I do, but I also think we have a responsibility to make sure that we don't overstate things and put ourselves in bad positions. I'm wondering what the next billboard's going to be, because potential that there's, I don't want to see them retract too far. Is the cat climbing? Yeah.
A little bit.
I don't want to see them retract so far that now all of a sudden we've got, you know, wishy-washy billboards. And I don't think that's remotely going to happen. I also don't want to see them go from, you know, they're all myths, to, you know, they're all, or you know, this is a myth, to, you know, they're all scams, to, you know, you guys are idiots and full of shit.
Yes, let's hope not.
You know, there's,
I don't want it to go there.
Let's not get the trend down. And I don't think there's any real danger to that. And by the way, I talked to Dave briefly the other day, although we didn't do much talking about the O'Reilly thing. I'm going to be at the American Atheist Convention in April. And he made sure that I knew that they've just lowered or changed the pricing for students for this event.
Oh, cool.
So if you go to atheist.org, you can find all the information about the upcoming convention. I'll be there, and so will a bunch of other speakers who are far more important and relevant than me. But having never been to an American Atheist Convention, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, I've done the Free Thought Convention and TAM and you know, run around to different universities and smaller groups and CFI things. But to actually be on the podium at a particularly bigger event is something I'm looking forward to. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. but we have some ideas. And one of them, I don't, as much as I'd love to do it, I don't actually think it's going to happen. But I'm going to run this by you, and I'll run it by our listeners. The thing is, by running it by people, it ruins any potential surprise for them.
Oh, yeah, well.
So, have you seen this Doritos commercial?
What? No. I am absent commercial television.
I don't know. No, it's not on my intern's list of things to talk about. Where?
What?
I don't see it on the list of. That's it. That's as far as you got. Oh.
Aha.
Catholics outraged over commercial using Pepsi and Doritos for the body of Christ.
What?
How dare I question
I
my...
this one.
By the way, I have the best and hottest intern ever. Okay, so Doritos and Pepsi teamed up for, I think, what was supposed to be a Super Bowl commercial.
Uh-huh.
And I think the commercial may have been pulled from YouTube entirely, but I'm checking. Yeah. At least the links that I have to it.
Oh, man.
It's been set to private, but...
But advertisements want to be free.
So, well, this ad didn't make it to TV, I don't think.
Oh.
But the nuts and bolts of it is that there's a priest who's concerned that there aren't enough people showing up.
Right.
And so he's praying essentially for a miracle, you know, some revelation or whatever.
Oh, no.
And the next thing you see is just flocks of people lined up to come and get a Dorito and Pepsi as a kind of communion
thing.
And there's a guy who's, you know, walks up and he's like, "Cool Ranch." And he's like, "That's the other line." I thought it was funny.
That's awesome.
And honestly, I think that there are a bunch of Catholics who are sufficiently capable of laughing at themselves that they would find it funny as well.
Donahue had a stroke.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Bill Donahue and the Catholic League and a bunch of other people got their panties in a twist. And, of course, there's been tons of conversation on TV about,
man,
is this offensive and insulting towards Christianity? And first of all, one of the first responses should be, if you don't want people to mock your beliefs, don't have stupid beliefs.
Right.
You know, oh, this cracker turns into Jesus. My Dorito turns into Jesus. Gumby, you know. But it got pulled amidst all this controversy. But I had an idea of filming a mock commercial of this,
uh-huh,
where, and the idea had to change a couple times because I it may never happen.
Sure.
But I would be sitting there with the board of the ACA saying, "Look, I don't know what to do. Dave Silverman's asked me to try to drum up support for the American atheists. How are we going to get more people to this convention?" And everybody's just sitting there dumbfounded, and somebody else is like, "Well, the megachurches seem to pull them in, and they don't have anything more than crackers and wine." And then we would look down at Jen's dog, who would be munching on a Dorito laying on the floor, call it a sign from dog, and then you switch to the convention where people are coming in droves to
right.
get Doritos and Pepsi. And I think it's a way of... I don't think this is an ad that the atheists should ever put on TV, because it sends the wrong message. Oh, we're trying to copy the church. No, no, no. We're having fun. We're poking fun at the church. We're poking fun at ourselves for being
right.
a minority and trying to... I thought it was amusing. It's just that I don't know that we necessarily have the resources to get it done.
And we have no trouble with Pepsi and Doritos.
Well, actually, I'm thinking that pizza and beer would probably be a better draw than Doritos and Pepsi.
Russell wants us to mention that there's a guy who looks like him in the commercial.
There is, in Ooh. Fact, a guy who looks a little like Russell in the commercial. He posted, did he post, ask him if, I don't know, he either posted it at the Atheist Experience blog, I think he did, or at Kazim's. But I'm pretty sure it's on Atheist Experience, which is something I should mention in addition to the announcements and whatever.
Yeah.
Atheistexperience.blogspot.com is the blog that Martin set up, which is officially, not officially associated with the ACA. But Martin and Russell and Don and me and Tracy and Jen and a bunch of other people make use of it and post it. So it's as unofficially official as, you know, you're going to find. It's just that the views presented there don't necessarily represent the ACA in any official, but then neither does half the shit I say. I'm mostly speaking for myself, unless I say otherwise that, you know, we're talking about the ACA.
Yeah, got to put on your official hat.
Yeah. So I don't. We may never get around to actually doing this, and it may be too much work to do. But I thought it would have been an amusing way to open the American Atheist Convention. And my original plan for having it open the convention was to have Dave doing it, not me. I mean, you're at the American Atheist Convention. Who's this asshole in Texas who's talking about bringing people? I wanted Dave up there doing it.
Right.
But instead, we you know, since he couldn't make it down, we were talking about doing it that way and running it as part of whatever presentation I actually give. And by the way, I'll put out a call. Anybody who's going to the convention or wants to go to the convention, if there's a particular subject or topic that you'd like to see me address or not address, feel free to drop me an email. Let me know. I mean, if I don't plan on going up there and giving the same superiority of secular morality talk or, you know, anything like that. So I'm looking for ideas about what people actually, you know, want to hear. Well, you didn't actually have any news, so I'm going to toss the next one to you.
Okay. You'll have to read it.
And you can comment on it first.
Right.
You know what Conservapedia is?
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah. Conservapedia's article of the week, or of the day, or whatever the hell it was about atheism and obesity. It was sent to me by a handful of people pointing out, I have my own page at Conservapedia now, which is really funny.
Wow.
It has less on it than my Wikipedia page, which suits me fine. But there's this article about atheism and obesity, quotes a Gallup poll, very religious Americans are more likely to practice healthy behaviors than those who are moderately religious or non-religious. By the way, I'll point out that there are other studies that disagree.
I would imagine so, yes.
There's a picture of P.Z. Myers, and he's cited in here as one of the... a 2010 picture of taken in Australia shows P.Z. Myers drinking ale / beer. Do they mix that? And he had excess weight in his abdominal area.
What? All Christians have six-pack abs?
In 2010, P.Z. Myers had health problems related to his heart. In addition, medical science research indicates that excess weight impairs brain function. I'm having a hard time reading this with a straight face.
Oh, God.
Then there's a link to a picture of an overweight atheist, Christopher Hitchens. Then there's the overweight Matt Dillahunty of the popular atheist TV show, The Atheist Experience. And it's just a link. My entire Conservapedia. You guys, Shafley, you need to get off your ass. Because, you know, my whole page just says Matt Dillahunty currently serves as the president of the atheist community of Austin. In addition, Mr. Dillahunty also serves as the host of the internet radio show, The Nonprofits, which actually Dennis is the host. I just do all the talking. And of the Austin television cable access show, The Atheist Experience. And then there's one link on my page. 15-year-old Christian boy debates Matt Dillahunty and another atheist. It was like when Kay Bain called into the show and, you know, it was funny. And he claims that the photo of me, he got through Creative Commons, and he did, technically, because it's an actual clip from the TV show.
Sure.
So good for him. And I don't care. So, tell us all about us Fatty McFatterton atheists, as
I
think Rebecca put it.
Yeah, I'm a little... I don't have those six-pack abs, I have to admit.
I fully admit. I am grossly overweight. Like, when I first found out I was diabetic 2 years ago, thanks to the lovely lady sitting across from me, I dropped like 35 pounds in 3 months. And,
cool.
And was eating right and doing well, and I got down. I was still about 20 pounds overweight, and maybe a little more. Depends. I don't know what my ideal weight is right now. I don't care. Then I got on medicine and started getting my sugar in control, and then I started eating like crap again because it's something I enjoy. And by the way, I have an insanely busy schedule, so eating well isn't always easy. And I've since put all that weight back on. I'm back up to the, fat lump of goo that I was before this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this has to do with atheism.
Nothing.
I like the fact that he tries to link, you know, decreased brain activity or intelligence with obesity. Because I find it just, silly. But if it's true... then imagine how much smarter than him I would be if I actually lost weight.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's staggering. Maybe this is our way of handicapping ourselves in arguments so that when we're up against, you know, particularly dull creationists and religionists.
We don't completely outshine them.
We throw on a little extra weight. It's kind of like tying a hemisphere of our brain behind our back.
Right. Which is what it takes to have at least an appearance of a fair fight.
Oddly enough, he loves him some Chuck Norris. And there's a picture of a fit Chuck Norris standing there in front of a flag, and he's supporting Chuck Norris's total gym on Conservapedia. Which every time I go to Conservapedia, I am more and more convinced that this is a fake.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
If it weren't for the fact of who's actually doing it, and that I know that, or at least I'm fairly convinced that this person is sincere, I would read this and go, okay, this is, a parody site.
This is a Poe.
Yeah, it's Landover Baptist in a wiki format.
Yeah.
But he's got this thing for overweight atheism. He's got this thing for machismo.
Uh-huh.
It's like he's got an article up there about, does Dawkins show machismo? I don't know.
Does Dawkins overcompensate like me?
I just, it's...
Gosh, no, he doesn't have to.
It's just so surreal. I have a page on Wikipedia, and I also have a page on Conservapedia, but my page on Conservapedia exists primarily because I'm an example of an overweight atheist.
Awesome.
Woo!
A list of overweight Christians would be 3-4 times as long. They couldn't even make a page for overweight Christians.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you're going to find, the dispersal of weight versus religiosity.
Right. Because if you're thin like Richard Dawkins, well, then it's got to be machismo that you're absent. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in shape and you're an atheist, then you're lacking in, intelligence or machismo.
Right.
Hey, baby, come over here and let me show you this contradiction in your Bible.
I got to show you how I'm superior.
But hey, I'm certainly not as fit as Kirk Cameron.
Right.
He's my age. He's in much better shape. He's a better looking guy. Mm-hmm. Although Beth would probably disagree.
Kirk Cameron's ugly.
There you go. And... did you hear what happened New Year's Eve with the birds?
There were bird die-offs in local areas, yeah.
Yeah, birds were falling from the sky in Arkansas.
Any reason for this?
Here's a page.
Environmental toxin of some sort?
So, the last I heard, the suspects, by the way, about 3,000 birds in Arkansas were found dead, falling from the sky. They were red-winged blackbirds, which have notoriously bad eyesight. And the last reports I heard said that the likely causes were anything from fireworks, both the concussion of fireworks and the disorienting bang and surprise of fireworks, because they flock.
Right.
And they have bad eyesight, causing them to run into buildings and other things like that.
But if there are pictures I saw of the stuff on the news was, there's a bunch of dead birds by the side of the road with no buildings in evidence, So it's like, I don't know. I wonder, if they're in an open field lying there dead or, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Maybe they ran into cars. I don't know, but it's just,
weird. As soon as I heard the report, which was January 1, I was like, there's going to be people claiming is a sign of the apocalypse.
This happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. Maybe not necessarily this localized in this many numbers. I don't know all the specifics. Mm-hmm. But even if this had never occurred before,
right?
All we could say at this point is we have no idea.
We don't know.
Wider. Now they called in veterinarians. They called in. They're doing everything. They're investigating every possible cause, from food contamination, poisons. To the possibility of them being struck by lightning as a flock and falling. They're some of the reports, instead of referring to the apocalypse, have called it the aflocalypse. And talked about how birds and fishes in other areas have, you know, also around this time.
But the tide goes in, the tide goes out,
yeah,
all without any miscommunication.
The birds go up, the birds come down.
There's no explanation for this thing, therefore, God did it.
Well, I raise it for a couple of reasons. You know, obviously, the absurdity of thinking that what kind of being operates like this? Let's assume for a second that this is a portent of the coming apocalypse.
Yeah.
What sort of being decides, you know what? It's time to let some of my secret people, my secret followers who understand things know, that I'm getting ready to do some massive damage. So let's kill off a few thousand birds in Arkansas on New Year's Eve.
So instead of a Twitter, it's a mass bird death. I mean...
And tweet, tweet, tweet.
Come on, yes.
But, you know, when you start hearing claims about apocalypse and things, and you hear stories about birds falling, who do you think you should go to first?
Well, obviously, when you phrase it that way, it'd be Ghostbusters. But no, what do you think?
I think you should go right to Kirk Cameron.
Oh, no.
And I'm gonna set a precedent here of... almost completely agreeing with Kirk Cameron and liking something that he said. Because
no.
That's a sign of the apocalypse.
That's a sign of the apocalypse in and of itself.
You may be right. The CNN, I think it was, it may have been another, it's on the CNN blog, so I'm not sure if they're the one. Yeah, it looks like they're the ones that contacted him for comment about these birds to see if he thought it was a sign of the apocalypse.
Why would someone ask Kirk Cameron? My God.
And Kirk said, well, I first think that they ought to call a veterinarian, not me. You know, I'm not the religious I'm not the religious conspiracy theorist go-to guy particularly, but I think it's really kind of silly to try to equate birds falling out of the sky with some kind of end times theory. Kirk is right.
So who killed Kirk Cameron and replaced him with an exact duplicate?
This is what I'm talking about. This is why we had to get here. This is the same crocoduck selling guy. And now he's saying that he's not the end times religious conspiracy theorist go-to guy, and maybe he never was, but he got everything right. Hey, you guys should have gone to a vet first. Why are you calling me? Mm-hmm. It's not like I think this is silly to tie this to. How did Kirk Cameron find reason so quickly?
I don't know.
What, I don't either.
Is there no explanation?
Yet one more.
If there's no explanation, then God did it.
One more of the many unexplained things that we'll have to deal with in the course of the show.
But that is pretty weird, man.
You know. Kudos to Kirk for calling him out.
Yeah. I mean, that would be as unlikely as the Pope actually apologizing for anything.
Yeah, well, we know that's not likely.
No.
So going on to something that actually matters, because I could really, I couldn't care much less about birds falling from the sky. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I want to run around just... screw the birds. Let's poison them and do whatever. Let's find out what happened, but not a huge deal. However, we've talked before about the anti-vaxxer crowd. That is a big deal. And the biggest of the big deals amongst the anti-vaxxers is this Andrew Wakefield moron.
Yep.
Now, we've known, those of us who've been discussing this for ages, years even, the backstory here, he did a study that purported to link vaccinations, particularly the MMR vaccination, with an increase in autism rate. This got published by a journal and is identified as probably the most significant contributing factor to the reduction of people having their kids vaccinated.
Right.
Which is demonstrably the biggest contributing factor to unnecessary deaths and illnesses among children and
You're
some adults.
Fucking with my herd immunity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, last year, he found himself in court. The Lancet, who had originally published the article, had pulled it. He was stripped of his medical license.
Good.
And basically bitch slapped about as hard as he could be by the authorities for what they had. Mm-hmm. And we knew this and we talked about it.
But he still enjoyed popular support.
Oh, yes. And there are still celebrity buffoons. Mm-hmm. Now, buffoon is nice. You could have
great
a
word.
Jolly buffoon. There's still celebrity ghouls like Jenny McCarthy who are supporting this nonsense. And there's actually a website, the Jenny McCarthy Body Count, which we talked about two TAMs ago, keeping track of how many deaths and illnesses are attributed to this, you know, anti-vax movement. Well, there's a journalist, an investigative journalist named Brian Deere, who wasn't willing to give up there and continued to investigate, and has put together a story based on his investigations where he outright accuses Andrew Wakefield of fraud, using the word multiple times, as did the editors who published his paper.
It's not been a good week for Andrew Wakefield.
No.
Yeah, he his claim, to this, manipulated data.
Yeah.
Even the parents of the kids in the study have come out against this, saying that he completely misrepresented what happened.
Yeah, basically he had like a dozen kids in a study. And I don't remember all the exact numbers, but some of them had showed signs of developmental problems before the vaccination. Some of them never showed signs before or after. And then he published the results of that study while on the payroll of lawyers for companies that wanted to show a link between vaccination and autism for the purposes of lawsuits. Now, I can't say, because I haven't looked at all the evidence and I haven't done the investigation that Brian Deere's done, that this is all absolutely true and that he's necessarily a fraud. But if law enforcement authorities, if all of the relevant authorities are not actively pursuing this to go after not just Wakefield, but the lawyers who were in cahoots with him as well, there is something absolutely wrong and corrupt about a system that would allow that to persist.
A clear and present threat to the public welfare.
The saddest thing is that after having this paper pulled, after having his medical license revoked, after having a journalist come out and demonstrate that there is significant evidence
of outright fraud,
this hasn't changed the mind of a number of people. And they've kind of circled the wagons in defense of him.
Right, of course. They're accusing the messenger.
Yes, they're saying Brian Deere is in cahoots.
Pharma stooge.
Yes. We know nobody has been able to replicate the results that he produced. Mm-hmm. Nobody has been able to demonstrate any, not only any strong likelihood, but any remote likelihood that vaccinations lead to autism. It's just not there, despite claims to the contrary. And now, to top it all off, we have additional evidence that this was entirely fraudulent and manufactured from the beginning. My take on this, and I don't want to trivialize this in any sense, I'm going to tie this to religion in a way. And this is purely an issue of skepticism, but it's one thing to say, and I get lots of emails, well, how can you know there's no God? I don't. Pretty damn sure there's no God. Pretty damn sure that none of the proposed gods exist. well, how can you do that? Isn't that, you know, aren't you asserting something you can't demonstrate? Well, no. As Vic Stinger pointed out in God, the Failed Hypothesis, and as we've talked about a lot of other times, absence of evidence is, in fact, evidence of absence when you would expect the evidence to exist.
Right. When a certain observation is required and it's not there, then that thing is not present.
Right. You tell me that you have a pet cat, and I come over to your house, and I find no litter box, no food, no cat, no cat toys, no flea powder, no collars, no hairs or fibers of any kind, no nothing that would support your claim that you have a cat. I do not believe that you have a cat.
And you are justified in that belief.
Well, no, it's not. I'm getting to that part.
Oh, okay.
Once I have found that there isn't sufficient evidence to support your claim, not only do I not believe, not only do I disbelieve your claim, but I can justifiably believe that your claim is actually false because there is evidence that we would expect to be present. If then I find out that you have a history of having imaginary pets, and this is documented by psychiatrists, now I have not only cause to believe that your claim is wrong, but to believe in an additional claim that you are inventing a fiction. Mm-hmm. Compare that to the anti-vax position. Not only do we not have any evidence that the vaccinations lead to autism, not only can we not reproduce the results that this individual has brought forward, not only can we not find any tie, but we've now find that when we look where there should be evidence, that absence of evidence is a contrary indicator to the proposition. So we can be reasonably sure already that vaccinations do not cause autism. Mm-hmm. When you add to that evidence that the claim, the initial claim, was intentionally manufactured and fraudulent, now you have not only justification to claim that for all intents and purposes, you know to a reasonable certainty, not to an absolute certainty, that vaccines don't cause autism. But you also know that this was an intentional lie manufactured to deceive people. Similarly, with religion, the various world religions that have posited the existence of a God, there's two categories of God. There's the type of God that doesn't intervene in reality. This God is irrelevant, because it is indistinguishable from a God that doesn't exist.
Right.
If there's no interaction, no way to detect it, then it's, it doesn't matter. But the religions tend to posit a God that does intervene in reality, that does have some ability to do things, and this should be detectable. And when you go out and look for the evidence where it's expected, and you don't find it, not only do you have a reason to disbelieve the claims, but you have a reason to believe that the claims are in fact false.
Right.
When you go the step further and find evidence that any of these religions that we can thoroughly investigate have obvious explanations of being manufactured myths, of being cultural stories that have been exaggerated, that are the product of ignorant minds trying to explain the things that they do not know, now you have a good reason to believe that at least the religions you've investigated mm-hmm. are, in fact, manufactured fictions.
Right.
This is the reason why the majority of people...
And don't forget, people are tithing. There's money involved.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah. It's the reason that we don't, by and large, believe in the ancient Roman and Greek myths and gods and things like that. Although, yes, if you do believe, don't email me. I don't care. There's some nut out there who believes that Thor exists, and some nut out there who believes that the Earth is flat and the center of the universe. I don't care. Please don't. I mean, it's reached a point. You can call me closed-minded if you want. It's reached a point where we no longer need to consider your claims. You now have such an overwhelming burden of proof that you'd better come with something huge and clear and decisive before we need to waste another breath talking about your beliefs. The question becomes, if we know that this group of religions that we fully examined are most clearly manufactured fictions. Uh-huh. And this other group that we can't really investigate further are at least not demonstrably true. And they show the hallmarks of sharing characteristics with these ones that are false. Are we then justified in claiming that we know to a reasonable certainty that these things are simply not true? I think we do.
I say so. There's justification
now,
there.
That's not an assertion of absolute certainty.
No.
It's not a closed-minded position. It's not...
We've just justified a high probability.
Yeah. It seems to me very probable that when you look... It's like using Occam's razor to find the best explanation. Right. Is it more reasonable to say that these things are the product of human nature trying to explain things they don't understand, and then the modern religions being better at it by virtue of having learned from the mistakes of the religions in the past?
And we're holding this conclusion conditionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show some actual evidence for your,
and we'll
religious
sit
claims.
Up and take notice.
Yeah.
But do they ever? No.
Yeah, I had a big back and forth with somebody because I, to be fair, mistakenly claimed there's no evidence. And he was like, well, there are people who are making these claims, and that's anecdotal evidence. And I was like, okay, what you don't understand is that, first of all, anecdotal testimonial evidence could never be sufficient to on its own,
right,
to justify these. But also, it's a little unfair to call them anecdotal evidence, because what you really have is a claim. I saw this. I experienced this. And there's usually a fallacy within that claim of, for example, somebody's like, I saw Jesus in my room one morning. Well, I have no doubt that that person experienced
something.
I don't want to say no doubt. I have very little doubt that person experienced something. What I'm questioning is their conclusion.
Their interpretation. Yeah.
Yes. And all I have at the moment is their claim. Adding three or four other claims to that isn't added evidence for that claim. It's simply more claims to investigate.
Especially when you see these people insulate themselves from everyone else and actively seek to get deeper and deeper into whatever it is they think they're in tune with.
Mm-hmm. The kind of follow-up to this sort of thing is, and I lost track of what I was saying because of the thing that... No, it's not your fault. It's the next news story that was being prepared. When we talk about religions and what we can know and what's believable and what's not believable, and people want to make these claims about anecdotal evidence and look at all the people, we already know there's a fallacy argument ad populum, the argument from popularity, and that the popularity of an idea, neither the number of people who believe something nor the sincerity of their beliefs, is sufficient to justify the claim. But what I've taken to start asking people when they email me this, because I think it's about the best response I've been able to come up with. If somebody has better ones, I feel free. There are people, living people today, that you can walk up to and talk to and interview who will tell you a story of something that happened to them. They will be expressing it in all earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And those stories will jive between individuals about their experience as alien abductees.
Yep. And there'll be all sorts of convincing details.
They will have shared information that is consistent among different people saying this. Mm-hmm. And there have been groups of people who evidently sincerely believe that they were abducted together, or that they witnessed a craft and a landing and an abduction or whatever together, and their details are the same. Are we saying, first of all, to all those Christians out there who want to believe just because the Bible says so, or because of the testimony of a number of people who think their lives have been changed by the, God or whatever, do they believe these alien abductees? I mean, the Bible account and the stories of these miracles that occurred. We have books that are translations of copies, no originals, no idea who the authors are in some cases, no way to verify any of the information there, and no corroborating data or claims even that are contemporary to those claims. And yet people believe, and they believe so strongly and so sincerely. And yet when you look at alien abductions, we have real-life people that you can go out and actually interview right now who will tell you exactly what happened to them, take you to the spot, and point you to other people who will say, yes, that happened to me in the same way, and point you to a group of people who had some shared experience of being, you know, we were out there and we all saw this. And their details, while not always matching exactly, will match sufficiently. Do they believe those people? I don't. I do believe that those people are representing something that they think is true. I don't believe that the object, the conclusion that they've drawn, is true.
It's exactly the same with people who claim to have seen ghosts.
And yes.
Any number of weird-ass things.
And the response that I get, actually, I have yet to have any believer that I'm aware of explain to me why they don't believe the alien abduction stories and do believe their religion. They skip over that.
Right.
The most critical aspect that could help them understand the nature of skepticism.
They refuse to look at it.
It's just, oh, no, that's silly. Let's get back to what I was talking about before. No, let's not.
Yeah.
We really need to address this because my position is one of as close to pure skepticism as I can ever achieve, which is, okay, I'm willing to accept that you've experienced something. Now let's see if your explanation for your experience has any evidence to support it. Because the response is, well, you think we're all just crazy or delusional. No, I think delusional, by the strictest definition, I don't necessarily think believers are crazy or stupid. I've had them write and say, well, do you think the apostles just made all this stuff up? No, I don't think that an intentionally invented fiction is the best explanation for the stories.
Yeah, even if the apostles existed, we don't know.
There's no reason to assume conspiracy and malice where ignorance and human nature are going to...
is perfectly capable of arriving at all this stuff. And I'm wondering, just on as a thought, do the UFO enthusiasts who get, you know, the UFO abductees, are there different schisms, or do they pretty much all converge on the same kind of story?
Well, I don't completely know, but I have heard. Here's the interesting thing is that, because this is a kind of a modern invention, we can track the history of it fairly well. And so we know when the modern era of UFO reports came. We know that in one period, you know, in an early period, ships were of a particular shape and design.
Right, and the aliens were like
remarkably like what we would see in the movies at the time.
Yeah, at one point they were hairy Chewbaccas, and now they're sleek, gray, big-headed dudes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it changes.
So, you know, not only do we have a good enough understanding of the history of this to have a good idea that while their stories may be true, not only is there no reason, not sufficient evidence currently to believe that they are true, but there is evidence that would lead us to believe that there are better explanations, right down to psychoses in some cases.
And they look at a book and they go, oh, yes, that's exactly what it was I saw.
Yeah.
And boom, the aliens now look that way.
Manufactured memories. Yeah. And it also comes into play when you're talking about things like dreams. Mm-hmm. I can't count the number of times somebody's emailed us to say, you know, I woke up and saw this. And we know we know that this happens all the time.
Right, that the hypnagogic...
that the waking dream state or the... Yeah. I forget the exact term for when you're just waking up. Somebody in the chat room will hit me up with it right off the bat, I'm sure. But we know that this sort of thing occurs. What troubles me is that people, even after they've had this explained to them, are so intent on applying significance to it. And I think it's just... Right. We're talking about human nature here. We are, as Shermer has pointed out, pattern-seeking machines, pattern-recognizing machines. We look for significance and intent in things and assume it whenever we can make even the most tenuous connection.
Right.
And that's why people think dreams speak to them. It's why people who misunderstand the state of mind they're in and what they've experienced will often exaggerate those claims. And we also know that once somebody's made a claim publicly and attested to it, their willingness to recant or change their mind drops dramatically.
Yeah.
Because they have a mechanism in our brain that wants us to avoid embarrassment.
Right.
And it's the reason why it's hard for so many people to admit they're wrong. It's hard for me to admit when I'm wrong on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been detrimental. And it's been a fight in some cases to say, you know what? I was wrong about that. I remember the one that sticks out at me the most was a very early show that I think Russell and I did on the TV show. And somebody called in and to talk about the ontological argument.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell and I just blazed straight ahead responding to, I think it was the cosmological argument instead.
Oh,
and it was just, I mean, it was just a complete brain fart misconnection on both of our parts. And the caller left that show, I'm sure, going, these guys are idiots who don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
How could they not? It would be impossible to confuse the ontological and the cosmological.
Right. The horrible part was you knew the difference between the two.
I did know the difference, and I had, you know, studied both of them along with a lot of other ones. But tying the term, yep. This was early on, and tying
brain.
The term to the argument just didn't click on that occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did do is being clearly and demonstrably wrong pretty much guaranteed that I'll never mix those two up again.
That's right.
And it also was eye-opening in that, you know, I mean, granted, it's a minor confusion because what we were actually addressing was valid.
Yeah. And did you mention it on the next show?
I don't know if it was the next show, but I know we mentioned it afterwards.
I apologize for the confusion.
Yeah. After 5 years and some change of doing the show, I don't remember everything that's happened.
Oh, sure, sure.
It's so funny because
we're willing to admit when we're wrong.
Yeah. It's funny because people email and they're like, in episode 342 at the, you know, you said this and I disagree with it. And I'm like, okay, I don't recall saying that. That doesn't look like something I'd say. What was the context? And in some cases, they're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I misspoke. In other cases, they've paraphrased what I've said.
Uh-huh.
In other cases, they've taken what I said and ignored the context. A really good example of this, there's this moron on the YouTube.
What? A moron on YouTube?
not YouTube. The YouTube. I just like calling it that. He took a clip where Martin and I were on the show, and I was saying that if you really believed, we were talking about Christianity and how you're born dreadful sinners and you are going to be going to spirited away to this afterlife that is so much better. If you really believe that, then you should kill yourselves. And Martin giggled because it's the absurdity of it, I think, is something that prompts a little giggling. And then I went on to explain that, you know, we're not calling for people to actually kill themselves. We're making a point about this, and it's a point we've made before in other ways, where, for example, Andrea Yates deciding to kill her children, mm-hmm. instead of allowing them the opportunity to grow up and potentially become sinners and responsible for their action and sent to hell, within the particulars of the doctrine that she believed, it was the rational conclusion to reach.
It was the logical thing to do.
Yeah, it's just that her presuppositions
were wrong.
Were batshit crazy. Oh, and by the way, I'm changing batshit crazy for a while to Quaid crazy, but I'll talk about that some other time. Because Dennis Quaid, Randy Quaid, mm-hmm. Dennis, Randy Quaid and his wife have seemed to have completely lost their minds. I hope they get better because I like Randy. He's funny.
Wow. Okay.
But anyway, this got posted, and the guy posted just like this narrow little clip of it. It was hilarious.
Right out of context.
And I started getting emails from Christians. You hate Christians, and you want them to kill yourselves, and here's the proof right here. And I was like, do you realize how dumb that sounds? I mean, did you not watch the rest of the clip? I watched the rest of it. I heard what you said, but you want Christians to kill themselves. They had actually gone through and listened to it all in context and still only focused on that one part. Yep. It's the same thing that I did when I was reading the Bible.
They're
as a believer.
Grasping at anything.
It is, you've walked in with this presupposition. Your well has been poisoned so that you are only looking at this one thing. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, you said Christians should kill themselves. And I said, well, the fact is, I said, if you believe this, you should kill yourself. And my implication was that this is the logically sound conclusion to reach, unless there is some specific prohibition against it. As the Catholics invented, you know, it's nothing, you know, but saying that, I'm sorry, the YouTube clip that's, you know, it's like I'm sitting up there, all of you Christians are vile and evil and we want you to kill yourselves. It's just mind boggling how anybody could think like that, and how I used to be able to think like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, they see the little red tail with the pointy thing on the end.
Yeah. Well, there are people who have supposedly said that after watching a few minutes of the show, they became physically ill at the demonic power that I was exuding and had to leave the room to go throw up. Now...
Well, to avoid that, all you have to do is sell your soul, like me. I mean, we can sit in the room with you all the time because we don't have any souls.
Yes, we are soulless, godless, vile creatures who want Christians to kill themselves. Now, you watch. Somebody will take that clip and post it.
There's another clip. Enjoy.
It's so funny and so not funny at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's posted this clip, and now I'm getting Christians emailing me saying, why do you want Christians to kill themselves? I'm like, I'm not. I'd prefer if you just start thinking for yourselves. I mean, is there any better demonstration of how unwilling you are to think for yourself when you go out and you find a YouTube clip that's edited and then immediately presume that there's some nasty person in Texas who thinks you should kill yourself? By the way, what difference would it make if I did? I don't in any way, but, you know, instead of getting angry, you know, if somebody was running around saying atheists should kill themselves and sincerely believed it, I'm not going to get angry over that. I'm going to say, wow, what a sad, pathetic individual.
Yep.
I'm sorry that he's so filled with hate. I don't know any atheists, or at least I don't, you know, actively associate with any atheists who are even moderately filled with hate.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we absolutely despise the doctrines and the actions that people take on behalf of those doctrines. But I don't hate my parents just because they happen to disagree with me on every issue related to gods.
Yep.
And I don't hate anybody else who happens to disagree with me on that.
Yeah. But, and you know, you got to understand, you know, we probably think there's a lot of delusion out there, right?
Yeah.
But there's a sizable number of people who believe that the people in this room deserve to be tortured forever in a lake of fire. Deserve it. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is something I wouldn't condemn anyone to.
Yeah, and the way they soften that is to say that, well, I deserve it too, but God's going to save me. So they've convinced themselves
I don't care.
It's somehow less vile.
Yeah.
If, well, I'm not just saying that you deserve it. I'm saying we all deserve it. I just happen to have been saved. And you could be, too. Why would you not want to be? It reminds me of that quote that Sam Harris used that I referenced this past week in an attack on moral relativism that I'm not going to go into in the short show today. If only one man ever held down a screaming girl and sliced off her genitalia and sewed her back up, leaving only a small hole for urination and menstruation. The only debate would be whether or not the death penalty is sufficient.
Right.
But when millions of people do it, it becomes, instead of millions of times worse,
oh, it's tradition,
cultural, and somehow okay.
It's a sacrament.
I couldn't agree with that paraphrasing more. It's so absolutely repugnant to me. But it's the same sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. This, well, I deserve to go to hell too, so I'm not attacking you for that. You're right. You're not just attacking me. And I'm not objecting to you attacking me and thinking that I go.
You're attacking the human race.
I'm objecting to the fact that you've sacrificed your humanity, mm-hmm. your dignity, your integrity on the altar of genuflecting servility to a corrupt moral policy that is entirely bankrupt and that is polluting and poisoning the planet. That's what I'm objecting to. I still like you, at least to the extent that I'm optimistic that people can change. The ones that can't, I'm sorry, I'm just mostly waiting for you to die off. I'm not in any hurry for you to die off.
Right.
You should be able to live and enjoy your life, but there are some people who we're just going to have to wait for them to shuffle off this mortal coil.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, so that progress can resume. So on a lighter note.
Yeah, what is this lighter note?
Ted Haggard's getting his own reality show on TLC.
Oh, God, yes, I heard about that.
The controversial Christian evangelical is getting his own reality project on the cable network. Ted Haggard's Scandalous will air as a one-hour special on the network. So it's not actually a series.
Ah, okay.
Haggard was the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, wow. leading 30 million followers across 45,000 churches when he was caught having an affair with a male prostitute. He also admitted he'd been using crystal meth. The revelations generated worldwide headlines and forced Haggard to leave the NAE. Haggard, his wife, and their children, and five children, have since been trying to rebuild their family. The pastor speaks out about the TLC special after the jump. Quote, I don't know if I can do his voice, or if I want to.
I don't even know what it is.
My family and I endured the... Oh, no, that's all right. He's not Southern. He's just nasally and annoying.
Yeah.
My family and I endured the darkest hours imaginable in the public spotlight and have spent the last 4 years fighting and struggling to rebuild our lives, our faith, and our family. Showing the world the new chapter of our lives will hopefully inspire others to find their own paths to overcome their struggles and embrace the power of acceptance. The church is open to all, even those who have committed the darkest sins. Personally, I think I'm done watching TLC.
Let's give a sop to Mr. Haggard. Yeah, no, sorry.
I don't see.
Fly. What was the other TV thing that people were getting all bent out of shape over on some other channel?
Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah. The
Discovery Health Channel is now Oprah Winfrey Network.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which will be woo, woo, woo all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that may speed up the people getting out of our way. We'll see.
It's, yeah, well, I don't know. We're past our new hour limit, and that's okay. But I want to hit one last story.
Go for it.
As kind of a good news and point of discussion. Although it's odd for me to be getting good news from WorldNet Daily.
Duh!
A 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has decided a memorial cross on federal land on Mount Soledad, California, violates the U.S. Constitution.
Woohoo!
The ruling was unanimous, 3-0.
Awesome.
It was the Jewish War Veterans versus City of San Diego case. The 29-foot concrete cross, which stood for 57 years, constitutes a government endorsement of religion and therefore violates the First Amendment's Establishment Clause.
Yep.
This issue with this cross has been going on and on
and on.
To me, it was always simple. And when justices start making claims, as I believe Scalia did, that the cross is just a symbol of patriotism, soldiers. Well, it may be for Christian patriots and soldiers, but as the cross is a specific, you know, when you go to a graveyard, the symbol of death is not just a cross. There's also that little tombstone, the little arch tombstone thing. And usually those have different symbols on them, including crosses or Star David or the Muslim crescents or any number of things. They're sometimes empty. And, I mean, I don't run around assuming that anybody who doesn't have a religious symbol on their tombstone was necessarily an atheist.
But it's just like, good grief, put yourself in the shoes of a Jew just for a moment and stand there and see this huge cross over your relatives that died in this war.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons.
It's basically a big fuck you.
It's one of the reasons why I was glad to see a religious group bringing the suit instead of an atheist group. Because when an atheist group brought the suit, they didn't win and couldn't win.
Right.
When a Jewish group brings the suit, now all of a sudden they can. That tells us so much.
Yes.
That tells us. I mean, we don't even have time in the next four shows to go into how much that says. Because it demonstrates that even though the law itself should be clear and enforced evenly, that that's not the case. That the views of non-believers are, I don't want to sound conspiratorial because I don't think that's the case, but it's almost, they're almost systematically disregarded and marginalized.
They're dismissed. Yep.
Now, it also shows us that the Jewish community has done a great job with the Anti-Defamation League.
Right.
And despite being a smaller minority than non-believers, they're good about drumming up funding, support, and getting things done. And it's not just to their credit.
How the hell do we do that?
We can't.
Oh,
under
shucks.
The current climate, I'm convinced that this cannot be the case. And here's why. It's because they had, not the Jews didn't do this. Mm-hmm. Christians working with Jews decided to invent this new word called Judeo-Christian, or a hyphenated phrase, Judeo-Christian.
Oh, really?
And it has so infused the minds of the people that their consciousness has been raised to the point where, Jews are our buddies. Jews are our friends. They're just like us. They just happen to believe something different. Hey, this country's for both of us. It's for Jews and Christians. They're not yet to that point with regard to Muslims or non-believers or Hindus or anything else. And by the way, I think that not just that a religious group needed to bring this. I think it almost had to be a Jewish group to bring this to get through headway in the current climate.
Right.
The reason I raise this is because the thing that we're pushing for, the thing that we're hoping for in the future, is that it doesn't matter who raises it.
Right. Justice gets done. That's what you want.
Yeah. That the merits of the case, that the consciousness of the entire society has been raised to the point where everybody's views, everybody's position is at least considered without being instantly dismissed.
Right.
Just because they're too different from me.
Right.
And in reality, we are not too different from the majority of believers in the country.
Right.
The majority of believers, as far as I can tell from any polls and research, tend to believe and hope for most of the same things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
They've been polluted by a minority of believers who are very outspoken and well-funded who want to construct or reconstruct or attempt to reconstruct a nation where they are supreme.
Right.
And so we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm assuming that this is going to be appealed again and try and make its way all the way to the Supreme Court. Where they'll have to deal with people like Scalia. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up because we're on a weekly schedule now, which means next week instead of 2 weeks.
All right. Well, that was our incomprehensible show. And without rhyme or reason, I'm Dennis Lube with Matt Dillahunty.
Maybe.
And Beth.
Hey.
And we'll be back next week, once again, to to evade the answerable. Until then, we unaccountably leave you with God by Tori Amos.
God, sometimes you just don't come through. God, sometimes you just don't come through. You need a woman to get through you. God, sometimes you just